Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, hello and happy weekend. Welcome to another program, another Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush. Good to have you along today. And by the way, don't forget, if you missed any part of today's show, or maybe you decide you want to go back and listen to something all over again because you think, did I hear that right? You can always find our show right now located on our website as a podcast. You can stream it or just download it and listen to it whenever you'd like. Our guest today, Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute. Tammy, how you doing?
I am well. It's good to be with you again. How are you, Frank?
Not bad. So how are things at IYI? Lots of exciting stuff going on, all kinds of numbers to crunch and research to cuss and discuss.
I like that. I don't know if I can admit to that. But yes, there's a lot of numbers to crunch. Actually, that's kind of one of the things we do over the summer, right? Because we work with so many schools and projects that are on school-based, but the summer is kind of our time to look at the data and research and think about it and get ready for when everybody's back in class in the fall.
Speaking of that, have you had several more, bunches, lots, not many, come to you, school systems, and go and start quizzing you about research and what they need to know about trying to get back to class and hopefully maybe go back to some kind of normal this fall? Are they banging on your door asking for research help?
No, I want to say we more likely go to them, and that's because they've been so swamped, right?
Okay.
I think that once we try to make sure that it's really easy and that they don't have to think about it, right? And that we can help them out, particularly as a lot of that funding was available, right? They could apply to, we want to say, here's some data. Do you need this for your application? Could this be helpful? That kind of a thing. But I know so many folks, programs, were just making it to the finish line this school year. So we haven't gotten those calls and knocks too much yet, but we're here and we're trying to do it kind of proactively so they don't have to have us on their to-do list.
One good thing is the fact so much of what you have is available on your website. So if you're a real numbers geek, of which we know all you guys are, they can do a lot of self-help because they can just go to your website and dig a lot of what they need to find out if they have research questions, I would imagine.
You bet. And we try to make it super easy. And in fact, a lot of our things are, you can click on, if there's a chart or a graph, you can click on that, copy it, drop it right into your report or your grants applicant, whatever that might be. We try to make it super easy. That being said, if there's something that you don't understand or you want it to go a little bit, maybe we're comparing 2 years and you'd rather have it compare 3 or 4 years, then you can reach out to us and we'll do that extra analysis or we'll go a little deeper to make sure you get what you want.
When we talk about numbers and research, one of the big things is the Kids Count data book or the Annie Casey National data book. And this, normally there's two sets of numbers with this thing. There's like a state focused report and then there's the national report, and the new national report is out, right?
You got it exactly. That is precisely right.
So Indiana, first of all, the Casey data book. Now, how does this come about? Is this something you guys do, something somebody else does, and then you just kind of tag along and read their research and then make it apply to us? How does that function?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's a whole national project, right? So we're the Indiana affiliate. So we're Indiana's representative to this whole national project. So every year, I'm sure we talked about it back in late January, February, we do a deep dive into Indiana's data. And that, again, is available on our website. We go through, I forget, a couple hundreds of indicators, right? Dive deeply. However, for the national one, there's a smaller number because they're going to compare all 50 states that we're required to collect. And then we report that to the Annie Casey Foundation. They put together an overview of all the states, right? And then they tell us how we're doing comparatively in the country. And so that's kind of, it's not us. We go a little deeper than what we have to do, but it is part of a national project that's consistent for all the states.
Okay, so on a national level, how'd Indiana do overall? Are we like, top of the pack, bottom of the pack, somewhere in the middle? How'd we do?
I'm kind of a competitive person, Frank, and we've talked about this, and I loved being a kid in Indiana, and I'm raising my kids in Indiana, and yet it's kind of frustrating to say we came in 29th. 29th out of 50 is
less than half.
A little, yeah, I was going to say, you might say it's middle of the pack if you're being generous, but yeah, it's actually a little lower than middle of the pack. And that's a challenge because, as we said, for those of us who grew up here and who love our state, we want it to be better. And we know in some, for some kids and families, it is better. Unfortunately, across the board, we're 29th.
So it would oversimplify it to the point of being ridiculous if I just said, you know, well, what's the one thing that really that did us in? But there's like four different areas I know this report kind of focuses on. And so, I mean, you know, because you've got like family and community, economic well-being, you've got education, you've got health. Well, let's kind of take a quick look at all four of these in a little bit different areas, because we actually go up and down depending upon which one of these you look. We look really good in a couple of them. We look not so yep. hot in some others. So I don't know. Take your pick. Which one do you want to start out on?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You want to start with the positive, or you want to start with there is actually one that's bringing down our average pretty significantly.
Let's start out negative and then try to work our way up to something really happy.
Okay, that sounds great. That sounds great. Well, as we said, 29th overall in health, children's health, we're ranked 36th in the country. That is dragging us down. We need to do a lot more to make sure our kids are healthy and have everything they need to be healthy and grow up healthy, because not only does that affect them as a child, right? If kids aren't healthy, they don't learn as well and all that, but it's also going to carry over into their adult productivity and how healthy they are as a workforce. We know that we're seeing a lot younger kids that are having adult onset diabetes, type 2 diabetes, but it's coming on as a child, and they're also having a lot of cardio issues, and so heart issues that we used to only see in older folks that we're seeing more and more in our kids because our health is a big issue for us.
We actually, didn't we drop a slot, I think? Am I reading that right?
We did. We fell one slot. We fell one slot, and a lot of that has to do, you know, low birth weight babies is one of the biggest ones, but then I'll tell you the childhood overweight and obesity rate in Indiana is just there. I think we rank 40th for overweight and obese kids. So again, we need to get, and we've talked about this before, you know, kids need to be out and moving and engaging. And not only is that good for their physical health, it's also good for their mental health.
Okay, well, health, we need to do a lot better on that. But then another thing I know that we didn't do real hot on, family and community, which that's kind of a generic type of title. I mean, what does that mean? Yep. What's that stand for?
Yeah, it is. And I get that. It's really looking at a lot of the components that make for healthy living conditions, right? So it can be the number of children living in high poverty areas.
We were like 31st overall in that, I wanted to point out. So, I mean, we are way below the halfway point there.
You bet. Again, thanks for doing that. It's also teen birth rates. It's the number of children living in families where there isn't a high level of education, and in particular, the number of families where the household lacks at least a high school diploma, because we know, again, that trickles into economic factors, and single children in single parent families also figures into that, as well as those are some of the main indicators. But, you know, it also has to do with the number of kids in juvenile correction facilities. It's a lot of those conditions that we know can impact a kid's future quite significantly.
You know, and I think out of that category, family and community, teen births is probably our worst showing, because I think we came in like 39th overall. I thought we were getting better with that, because the last research I saw here, I don't know, within the past year or so, I thought indicated that we were doing better, but maybe not.
You're right. No, it's both. It's both.
How does that work?
Good for you for remembering that. Actually, our teen birth rate has been declining. At the same time, other states have gotten better faster.
Oh.
So even though we got slightly better, they got way better faster. And so then our ranking goes down.
Okay, well, all right. I could make a joke and say that we're still good at making babies, but that's probably not what this is all about. So
we're not wanting that for our teens, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We don't want to win that one, that's for sure. So okay, now the other thing too that we really did, now this is where we start to get positive and happy. When it comes to economic well-being, it looks like we really don't do too bad there when it comes to kids.
We do great there, actually. And you know, I think a lot of these numbers, when you step back and think, does that make sense? They do. You know, we're ranked 18th overall. And a lot of that has to do with the number of kids living in poverty. It also has to do with the cost of housing. And in Indiana, compared to many other parts of the country, housing is fairly affordable, and that's something that's a positive, and it's a positive particularly with families with kids that are trying to make sure they have the economic resources to support them.
Now, well, here's something I want to ask you about that when it comes to housing affordability, because, yeah, we came in, what, sixth overall when it comes to children in housing that spent more than 30% of their income on housing. Okay, so here's my question on that. What does that really mean? Does that mean that housing is just affordable here, or the kids are living in better housing compared to others? Because, okay, if you're living in an affordable house, but it's not a nice house, I'm not sure that that's really anything to be proud of.
Right, right. No, it's, but you know, those are great. And they're kind of gauged a little differently because, yes, you want it to be safe and affordable housing, right?
Yeah.
Like up to all the standards and all of that. However, if it is that affordable category is making that assumption and is gauging that it's safe and affordable. So then if, you know, there, if you think of some of those places that cost a fortune to live in, you know, particularly if you think of urban areas, Chicago or Boston or wherever, LA or Atlanta, even if you have to spend all your money on rent or on a mortgage, you don't have money for food or perhaps all medications or those other things. And those are tough choices that, you know, we do see some families having to make. Fortunately, that's something that's a bright spot for Indiana for sure.
Housing is really affordable here in the Wabash Valley, or at least it was until the housing market went nutty.
We hope that'll correct, right?
Yeah,
we hope
really.
Correct.
You know, but then again, though, when you take a look at like the donut counties of the capital up around Indianapolis and some of those areas, Fishers and those places, boy, it's really pricey up there, you know, so I'm not sure how affordable that. But then again, though, this is over the whole broad state, not just one specific area. So, all right, well, hopefully that means that our kids are living in good housing, nicer housing, you know, we hope.
Yep. It's all comparative to other states, and it's across the state and compared to other states. So in large part, again, that's a bright spot for us here in Indiana, is that even if you are living in one of those, as you said, one of our state's higher areas, it's still likely less expensive than if you lived in another state.
Now, I know one of the things we did really well on, at least a lot better than any other of the categories that are here when it comes to education, we, what, hit 17th, which, okay, it's not top 10, but still, it's awfully good when you consider it.
It's really good, right? And so I know that often, and I'm probably one of those folks that say we need to do better on education. Of course we do. And of course we want to make sure that our teachers and our schools have everything they need to support all of our kids. That being said, that is our highest ranking as a state. And so, you know, that looks at fourth graders who are at the proficient reading level. It looks at eighth graders who are proficient at the math level. It looks at high school students graduating on time. And it looks at pre-K for kids 3 and 4 and the extent to which they're enrolled in pre-K.
A couple of things you brought up, though, we're not getting better. We're getting a little bit, and that is high school kids not graduating on time. We seem to be slipping there a little bit. And the fourth graders mm-hmm. below proficient reading level, we're getting a little worse there, too.
You are correct. You are correct. So even though it's our bright spot, we backslid a little bit. And the other thing that's important to note here is that these indicators are pre-COVID, right? And so everything, because it's all based on state and federal information, and the whole country obviously was impacted by COVID, but we're going to need to keep our eyes on that because we know some of that learning loss, there's a risk that we could decrease in some of those, particularly their reading. We're hearing a lot of concern about that. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean this summer your kid needs to be in a classroom structured or doing Zoom, but have them read some books, right? Or magazines or recipes, or have them read. Make sure they're reading all summer.
One of the areas that when it comes to education, we are really ought to be embarrassed, but at least we're getting better. And that's the third and fourth grades not attending school. I mean, we're almost on the bottom there.
40th, correct.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, I mean.
Thank you for saying that. Yes, it is. And we're not setting our kids up for success. And obviously we want them to be successful because we need them to be good employees and community members. And we need them to be successful, thriving adults, right? And one of the ways we know to do that is to set them up early and to make sure they're getting that pre-K. And being 40th, again, I love our state and I'm proud of our state in many areas. And that's one of those that you really, you know, we know we need to work on. 40th is not where we want to be.
But the important thing there, I think, probably, and we don't have time to really dig too deep into this here, is why are we 40th? Why are those kids not going? I don't think it's just because they just don't want to go. I mean, there's got to be some kind of underlying reason there that gets that many kids to not go to school.
Yes. Well, and this, again, we might see this coming out of COVID. In fact, we're somewhat fearful we will, if it's not available. Again, it's not that they don't want to go or that many times or that the parents don't want them to go. It's, is there affordable, accessible pre-K for all kids in every area? And we still have some accessibility issues for sure.
The National Kids Count Data Book, Tammy Silverman with Indiana Youth Institute's our guest today. So, okay, so before we run completely out of time, all these four categories, all these things we talked about. So, nutshell, what do we really learn out of this?
Yeah, it's great. So it learns that we need to dive in. I mean, as I said, I can't say enough about our health areas. So when we're talking about any of these things with kids, we also need to be saying, are kids healthy? What else can we do to keep our kids healthy? I know sometimes we want to think of these all in little buckets and categories, but they're all connected, right? And so as we're thinking about schools and education, we've got to start focusing on kids' health. That's a big, big takeaway. The other thing is there are some things that we can do that are getting a lot of support. The child tax credit payment, I can't tell you how widespread, longstanding, deep support there is in both parties for that. That's a pretty easy one. Let's look for some of those easy wins that we can have that can support our kids.
All right, Tammy Silverman with the Indiana Youth Institute. Now, do you have this on your website, the data book,
where
folks can read it?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. You bet. If you wanna, and even what you did, I'm so impressed and grateful for you, Frank, for tying it back to the state one. If you want to toggle between both of them, it's all available there for everyone to access.
Cool. There you go. If you have a desire to immerse yourself in numbers and data. And actually learn something. I mean, because you can do this and not get anything out of it. But if you spend a minute or two with it, you're probably going to learn something. And it's kind of neat. And it's not just for educators or folks that work in the educational system, you know, or with kids on a professional level. This is for parents and family members too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we were talking to a business owner last week who looked at it, and there was something he was on a committee for their school board, and he's like, this is just what I needed. I needed this information. So it's for everyone. Absolutely.
Tammy Silverman, the Indiana Youth Institute, you'll find them at IYI.org. And we appreciate you spending some time with us today. That's it for this week's show. Did you miss something? You want to go back and hear it again? It's posted as a podcast that you can stream or download right now on our website. And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.